Hello, everyone. Today is Tuesday, August the 1st. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and you guys can help us keep this conversation going by supporting the show, sharing it online. You can leave us a good review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a link in the description of this podcast so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions.
Now, boomers, everybody, boomers,
now, let me
Gen
tell
X,
you, back in my day,
I don't want y'all to take offense to this. I do not want y'all to take offense to, because I'm just a millennial, right? So I got no clue how the world works.
Right.
But Solomon's talking to you.
You know, Solomon says this, but there's a lot of things that I have seen, like, millennials lean toward for the nostalgia.
I do
like,
it too.
I'm like, but weren't the old days better than this?
Well, here's the thing. Now with millennials, like boomers didn't have social media. Gen X is kind of coming up. Like they were around when social media was getting its thing.
Right.
But now social media can capitalize on nostalgia. Nostalgia has always been marketable.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
now we're seeing social media being, I mean, we're seeing nostalgia be like really heavily marketed. Mm-hmm. They're even putting nostalgia, like Nickelodeon has that like 90s back blast to the past, like all your old favorite cartoons. Mm-hmm. Relive all that nostalgia. It's like, hey, not only do we know that you want all this stuff, we're going to like straight up tell you what you're feeling and we're going to give it to you. It's
yep.
like, this is great. But Solomon says, yeah, don't do that. Don't ask why the old days were better than these. It's not wise.
Ugh. One of the things that, you know, I think about the old days, and it makes me think about like Saturday morning bowl of cereal, watching cartoons.
Yeah, Solomon never watched Hey Arnold. To be
Solomon,
fair, I know he was the wisest man who
like
ever lived.
Power Rangers, yeah, like Voltron.
He never.
Solomon, come on, man.
He never watched Hey Arnold. He didn't. He didn't grow up on Doug, Funny, and Rugrats and all that stuff, man. Like if I feel like if he had, he'd be like, hey, yeah, a little bit of nostalgia every now and then.
The point. I mean, the point there though is relevant for all of us, no matter what age group you fall in. It doesn't benefit anybody to just stay staring at the past.
Yeah.
It's fine to remember and it's fine to be, like look back fondly on things. But if you're stuck like, oh, I wish we could go back. I wish we could do this. Well, God's plan for you is in the future. God's plan for you is out here. If we're looking in the rearview mirror, we're going to miss it.
Yeah. What was one of those breakfast cereals that you wouldn't eat nowadays?
Oh gosh. Probably favorite for me was either Fruity Pebbles.
Fruity Pebbles was good. Yeah.
Or, Crunch Berries.
You know what's funny is I was gonna say Captain Crunch because back then I didn't realize it, but it would like tear the roof of
every
my
time.
Mouth all up.
It's like eating razor blades.
It's like
every
eating,
time.
Yeah, it's like eating gravel, razor blades, and just like sharp, jagged like rocks.
And just crystallized sugar. Like I might as well just pour the sugar in my mouth. but as a kid, it was the greatest thing on the face of the planet.
It blasted me into a whirlwind of peanut butter and chocolatey taste.
Deep pull. Very nice.
That was actually, I know someone's going to call me out. That's actually
that Reese's Puffs. Yeah.
Yeah. But
which is also a good cereal.
I had to say it.
And all those cereals are available now. And I can remember distinctly as a kid sitting down with a bowl, I'm like, this is the greatest cereal on the face of the planet. And now if I eat them, I'm like, I'm going to regret this in about 15 minutes.
I had a bowl of Reese's Puffs like a month ago, and it tore my stomach up.
Yeah,
I can't handle it no more.
30-year-olds don't do well with a bowl of those
cereals. I cannot imagine waking up first thing in the morning, sitting down and eating a bowl of Reese's
Puffs. Just straight sugar.
I did it. And my mama let me.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's crazy.
Me too. And I'm letting my kids do the same thing. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
Enjoy it while you can. We're going to grab Dr. Shah in just a minute. But if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. My name's Ellie.
And I'm David.
And we want to take a minute and let you know how we can actually serve you as you're listening to Clearview Today.
The Bible paints an extraordinary picture of who we are as a church body. The mission of Clearview Church is to lead all people into a life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus Christ. A huge part of leading people is praying for them. A big reason that Christians have unanswered prayers in their life is because they're not praying.
You know, 1 John 5:15 says, "And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." If you're listening to the Clearview Today show, we want to know how we can pray for you as well.
There's a number of ways that you can get in touch with us at Clearview and share your prayer request, but the best way is by texting us at 252-582-5028. You can also send us an email at prayer@clearviewbc.org, or you can download the Clearview app on iTunes or Google Play. You know, on that app, there's a dedicated prayer wall that helps us to get to know what's going on in your life, how we can pray for you, and how we can take any necessary steps to get you moving in the right direction.
Thanks for listening. Now let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinav Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
And if you've never listened to the Clearview Today show before, we want to welcome you, let you know exactly who's talking to you today. Dr. Abhinav Shah is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can find all of his work on his website. That's abhinavshah.com.
Dr. Shah, people have been texting in since yesterday's episode. So excited about this series.
Yeah.
So excited to dive into these autopsy reports.
People are really quick to jump on Revelation. I think they're quick to jump on anything that has to do with like prophecy or end times or it's just.
I've had people ask me, why don't you preach on prophecy?
Uh-huh.
And I remind them for 2.5 years, I preached on nothing but prophecy. I covered everything from Ezekiel to Matthew 24 to Daniel, 1 Thessalonians, Zechariah, of course, Revelation. I've covered it all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 15. So I've done prophecy for so much that I have backed off, not because I don't believe in prophecy, but I think prophecy is very important. There are blessings that a church receives when they study prophecy. Blessed are those who keep the words of this prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to study so that you can live, number one, a holy life.
Amen.
Prophecy should lead you to holiness and not continue in sin. If you know that the master is coming soon, why are you living unholy lives?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I'm trying to be holy. Well, let's not just think about sexual immorality. How about your words? How about gossiping? How about negative behavior, bitterness, unforgiveness? Those are also things that God will test you when he comes and say, how are you living? Mm-hmm. Well, you got all this junk in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So prophecy, number one, should lead us to holiness, but also prophecy should lead us to evangelism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If we truly believe that Jesus is coming soon, then don't you want everyone to be ready to meet him?
Right. That should be the biggest push. I mean, the urgency, and the unexpectedness of Jesus is coming back should motivate us to share the gospel at any and every opportunity. And yet people are just, I want to have my laminate bookmark that I can put in my Bible that has the timeline of Revelation. But you're not getting the push behind what we're talking about.
I think one thing that's kind of interesting is how hard you've hit on Jesus fulfilling everything in the Old Testament, like mm-hmm. the Old Testament being so critical to understanding Jesus.
Right.
Yet at the same time, we don't typically apply the Old Testament to Revelation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that comes from the fact that a lot of people think that that's done? The ethnic Israel is just kind of done for.
Yeah.
And they don't really put that in Revelation at all.
Well, sometimes they put that too much into Revelation, and they think, oh, this was meant for them, but now it's meant for the church, and it's done. So it can be both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I want to say it as clearly as possible. Revelation is about the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the future. It's not about some prophecies in the past. Some people believe that, by the way, that Christ already came, and that's not biblical. So Revelation is about the future. Also, to understand Revelation, we need to understand the Old Testament, because a lot of the lingo resembles the Old Testament. So in that sense, some of those people are right. Yes, it sounds like the Old Testament. We should also consider first century Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that the book of Revelation talks about, especially those seven letters, they're very indicative of the time in which those letters were given, first century Judaism, but also the Greco-Roman setting. Some things will not make sense unless you go back and study the history of people living in Asia Minor, mm-hmm. in Turkey, the Greco-Roman world. Greco in the sense of Greek culture, Roman in the sense of Roman rule. Mm-hmm. Those are some of the cultural backgrounds you need to be familiar with in order to understand this book. And then the context of the local church. Mm-hmm. These prophecies were not given just for individual believers. Mm-hmm. Of course they are. But they were given to a body of believers. Mm. In fact, seven bodies to be exact.
Mm, right.
To the seven churches mm-hmm. of Asia Minor.
Yeah, I think one of the things we talked about yesterday that I've been thinking about and I've been kind of just letting kind of ruminate in my mind is that it's so centered on Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that we, like we said, we find that completion of the Old Testament in the character, I guess, for lack of a better word, of Jesus. But at the same time, we don't see Jesus in the Gospels the same way we see him in Revelation. Like in the Gospels, he's like this kind of wise, hippy-dippy teacher who teaches love and patience and tolerance and understanding and all this stuff. And that's a very skewered, incomplete picture, because here in Revelation, Jesus has a very authoritative, powerful stance. And he's talking to these churches in a very authoritative, examining way.
Well, I feel like a lot of times when people are studying the Bible, especially studying the life of Christ, they see what they want to see in Jesus. They see him as who they want him to be. So if they see him as the kind of that free-spirited teacher who kind of roams around with his disciples, then that's the picture they're mapping on. They miss those passages where Jesus goes into the temple and starts overturning tables right. and says, "I'm here to do my Father's will." Yeah. They skip over those because it doesn't fit their mold of right. what they think Christ should be like.
Very, very true. Keep in mind, he is the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob mm-hmm. in the Old Testament as he's of the New Testament. By the way, that leads me to clarify a point. Mm-hmm. The way I study prophecy, and I have been doing this for years and years, I'm not a dispensationalist. I'll go ahead and go on record on saying that.
Do you want to say just very quickly what dispensationalism is? Like in a
that God dealt with different peoples in different ages in different ways.
Got it. Mm.
To bring them to salvation. Mm-hmm. So they may even sort of say that salvation has always been through Jesus Christ, but in different times it was through different means, like mm-hmm. the law. Mm-hmm. Or if you go to the Garden of Eden, was just simply not touching the fruit, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and then the law, and so on and on. I don't believe that's very accurate.
Right.
And neither am I a covenantal, where I believe that it's different covenants. I believe that Jesus Christ has always been the way. Mm-hmm. People before him were waiting for his coming. Mm-hmm. And since he came 2,000 years ago, we look back to his coming. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That he came, died, buried, rose again, and finished the work of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. And so, only one plan of salvation, but it was also through Jesus, and people knew. So I don't claim that it was just sort of different means. People may not have known about Jesus, but as long as it was some kind of sacrament. No, I believe prior to Jesus coming, people knew someone was coming who would die for their sins, and that someone was God in flesh. Mm-hmm. And now we know for sure, because all the prophecies are fulfilled in Christ, and he on the road to Emmaus, explained everything and said, this was me. So I believe people knew someone was coming to give their life and that someone was the Son of God. Mm-hmm. And now we look back and know that he did come. One other thing about prophecy is we need to keep the distinction between Israel and the church. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people try to hold to this doctrine of supersessionism, that somehow the church has superseded Israel, and I don't believe that's correct. There are prophecies still to be fulfilled for ancient Israel, and we need to honor that. Mm-hmm. So these are some parameters that I would suggest people to keep in mind and be as consistent as possible when you're studying prophecy, mm-hmm. right? So now going back to the whole thing about Jesus, he is the same one who Daniel encountered in the Old Testament and John encountered in the New Testament. Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I think that's kind of the sticker, is that it's not two different testaments. It's one comprehensive story
right.
with the same central character.
Yeah. That's right.
Giving the same message.
That's yeah. right.
I love those that comparison in writing between Daniel and between John's writing and Revelation, this picture of Christ that they both hold up independent of one another, but yet, I mean, it's obvious that this is the same person they're talking about.
Right, right. I mean, think about even how the encounters take place, the identity. Revelation 1:9, it says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. So listen to how he identifies himself. Mm-hmm. How about Daniel? Daniel 10:12. In those days, Daniel mm-hmm. was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine, on and on and on.
Yeah. It's like if they're going to come out and say, this is a miraculous vision that I've been given, but I'm standing behind it. I'm putting my name on that vision.
That's it.
Which is crazy because like if I had like a vision like that in this day and age, I don't know if I'd be able to.
Like, post this anonymously on a forum somewhere online.
Maybe I ate something bad. I'm going to post it and let somebody else kind of take that and run with it.
Right. And then the time, Revelation 1:10 says, I was in the spirit of on the Lord's day. Daniel 10:4, now on the 24th day of the first month. Now, what I want us to understand here is that both John and Daniel did not have some fairy tale dream vision.
Like a long time ago.
Once upon a time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, this was at an actual place and an actual time.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't take place in a galaxy far, far away. Oh, right. Long, long ago.
It's not some fable they invented. They put that timestamp on there because they're like, this really happened. People can verify that I was there. I mean, you can prove this.
Yeah. Place Revelation 1:10 on the island that is called Patmos. Daniel 10:4. I was by the side of the great river that is the Tigris. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one is in the Aegean, another one is near the Tigris River.
And they're both taking place during a period of just like exile. Like they're desolate, they're alone, they're scared, they used to be part of this vibrant community, but now they've been exiled.
No, they're in exile.
Yeah.
And then the books. Both of them talk about a book. Mm-hmm. So Revelation 1:11, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write in a book and send it to the 7 churches which are in Asia. And as you know, the list, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And Daniel 10:21, but I tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth.
Wow.
So these are not the books of life mm-hmm. in heaven. Mm-hmm. No, these are the books that they are writing. Mm-hmm. So both are writing a book.
Wow.
I just want us to understand the parallels. Mm-hmm. So you cannot study the book of Revelation in isolation. You have to begin with the foundation of the Old Testament.
Yeah, this is not like a cool little gimmick. Like, look how similar these are. Isn't that cool? This is like, if you're going to take on the task of studying Revelation, you have to understand that you don't study it in a vacuum. You don't study it isolated by itself.
You can't just pick out that one as your book study. You got to understand it in its larger context.
Yeah, I remember being in youth group and they would do stuff like this where you say, see, look at how they're the same. And I always walked away with like, that's kind of
so
interesting.
What, huh?
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. It never clicked or was made that next step of you have to read them as one.
Right. There are ramifications in the sense of, so now here are your hermeneutical guidelines mm-hmm. because of the parallels. Now read and study these letters like this.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's what we're trying to get to, folks, mm-hmm. on the YouTube as well as the radio podcast. The reason we're doing this comparison is so that when you study Revelation, don't do it as some of your favorite prophecy teachers mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. your pastor or whatever. I mean, that's great, but make sure you have the foundation of the Old Testament.
That's right. That's right.
Absolutely. Misunderstandings there's no room for them when it comes to studying scripture.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, but this comparison between John and between Daniel's writings, both are focused on Christ. Both are focused on, I mean, they talk about things that are yet to come, but both center on this person of Jesus.
Right.
As he's revealed himself to them.
I mean, just Revelation 19:10 says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Mm-hmm. For the witness of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You want to know what prophecy is all about? Mm-hmm. The one that is being given by the Holy Spirit, it is the witness of Jesus, the second person of the Godhead who is watching events unfold because he is outside of time. Mm-hmm. He's giving us how things will happen for us, time-bound people. So the witness of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Mm.
What is their, for John and Daniel, what is their reaction to this first like encounter with Jesus?
It's the same. I mean, listen to Revelation 1:12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. You see the sense that he's going about his life, or he is stuck in this exile, and he's like, whoa.
Mm.
So also Daniel, in Daniel 10:5, I lifted my eyes and looked and behold. Remember, John is in exile on the island of Patmos, mm-hmm. but Daniel also is in exile in
Babylon.
Mm-hmm. So how interesting.
Very similar.
Yeah, both of them are in exile.
Yeah.
What is exile, by the way? You're stuck somewhere where you don't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You've been ripped away from your homeland, from your security, or your normal way of life has been taken away from you, and you have been completely disheveled. But in that moment, God shows you that this is not the end, that he is working towards something else.
Mm.
So both for John and for Daniel, exile was preparing them for the future.
I think it also fed into their reaction when they see Jesus, because they're in this hopeless place.
Yeah.
And they're kind of at their lowest, where all kind of seems to be lost. And then they see this King of Glory, and they just are like, fall down just out.
Yeah.
Like, what does John say? He's like, I fell down as though I were dead. And I'm like, golly, I think, that's the only reaction I would have.
Yeah.
And then such a hopeless place.
Daniel, read that for us. Daniel 10:7. What does it say?
It says, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them. So they fled to hide themselves. And then verse 8 goes on, therefore I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me.
Just like John, he says, I fell at his feet mm-hmm. as dead, as mm-hmm. if I was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel says the same thing.
Yeah.
For my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's crazy, because these were people who were close to God. They weren't like weary sinners who saw, like Paul, like on the road to Damascus, a sinner who's like, I just have to drop him back. Like, they were already close to God. And yet at the same time, they just became completely and utterly lifeless in his presence.
Yeah. So again, there's an application there that I want us to miss. And the application is this: so much better for you to meet Jesus as Savior and King, the humble shepherd who calls us to come.
Mm-hmm.
He welcomes, he's softly and tenderly waiting for me to come to him.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't meet him like that, one day you will meet him as the judge.
Mm-hmm.
Like John encountered, like Daniel encountered, and they dropped almost as if they were dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the most interesting things to me when you read these prophecies is just the way they describe the person of Jesus, because they go into such detail and the imagery is so alive and real. I almost feel as though it's like, on the one hand, it's this Jesus that we picture in our minds, but then it's this like otherworldly, mythical, grand, like glorious description of who he is.
Yeah. I mean, it tells us here in Revelation 1:12, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man.
Mm.
Now listen to Daniel 7:13. Now, even though it's kind of earlier, still part of the same prophecy, mm-hmm. Daniel 7:13, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. How interesting that the same title is used, which is Son of Man.
Yeah, because we're used to Son of God.
Right.
You know, we're used to he's the Son of God, but he's also the Son of Man.
That's right.
And I feel like
full
a lot of
humanity
times,
there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's a part that I often ignore. Yeah.
How interesting that Daniel describes him that way.
Yeah.
Before Jesus was born as a baby.
Oh, that's true.
Daniel describes him as the Son of Man.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Very interesting.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the descriptions are also very similar. Let's go with John first in Revelation. Revelation 1:13, that he was clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. Now remember the golden part. His head and hair were white like wool. Remember that as well. As white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. Remember that as well. His feet were like fine brass. Remember that as well. As if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Also remember that. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Remember that as well.
Mm.
Now let's go to Daniel 7:9. I watched till thrones were put in place in the Ancient of Days. Remember the hair being white like wool?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the Ancient of Days. His garment was white as snow. We read that just a little while ago. And the hair of his head was like pure wool. And that what John saw? His mm-hmm. head and hair were like white like wool?
That's right.
Listen to verse 5. This is Daniel 10. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen whose waist was girded with gold of Ophaz.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the band of gold?
Yep.
His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire. We just read that. His eyes like flame of fire in John chapter 1, verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
And then his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color. Well, look at verse 15 of Revelation 1, his feet were like fine brass,
mm-hmm.
and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And what does it say in Revelation 1 and verse 15? His voice as the sound of many waters.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, heretics, they always aggravate me. When they talk about Jesus not being fully God or Jesus not being in the Old Testament and mm-hmm. Jesus being, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah, you don't read something like that.
How do you dispute that?
Yeah, you don't read something like that and be like, well, I don't think he was actually fully God. He might have been a little bit of one or a little bit of the other. Maybe like a Hercules situation going
on. Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But it's Jesus. And then even the reaction, the instructions that are given in Revelation 1, verse 17, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of Hades and of death. And then Daniel 10:12. Then he said to me, do not fear. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Same command. Do not fear. Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words.
Mm.
And then talks about other things.
But I appreciate you the word you used there. That's the same command. It's not an encouragement. Hey, don't be afraid. It's going to be okay.
It's like, it's okay. Don't be scared.
And we've said we've said that on the show before, but it's a good way, because we're talking about the way to study this. That's the way that you think about that command. It's a command. Do not be afraid.
And then in Daniel 10:14, I'm going to point out something, because I said earlier that we need to keep the distinction between ethnic Israel and the church.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Listen to Daniel chapter 10 and verse 14. It says, now I have come to make you understand what will happen to
your people.
Your people, the Jewish people, the descendants of the tribe of Judah, of the of the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
So your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. So for all those people who think the church has replaced Israel, explain to me what Daniel is talking about.
Right.
So we need to make sure we keep that distinction. Know where you have to go. Okay, these prophecies are for the church.
Yeah.
These instructions are for the church. And these are for God's people,
mm-hmm.
ethnic Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, Revelation, I believe much of that prophecy refers to ethnic Israel going through tribulation. And Daniel chapter 10, verse 14 corroborates that.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to maintain those distinctions.
Yeah,
that's right.
And maybe in the days ahead, we can kind of dive deeper into
this. Yes, I would love to.
Absolutely. It's important for us, as we're talking about autopsy reports, we've got to understand the one who is writing autopsy reports.
Exactly. Yes. Right.
If you guys enjoyed today's topic, if you have questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Click that link at the bottom, donate to the Clearview Today Show, and be a part of what God is doing, reaching the nations with the gospel of Jesus. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.